Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Devin Leary and it's, let me check the fact books. Yeah, it's my birthday today.
It's Devin's birthday today. Devin, were you a redhead when you were born?
No, I was, okay, this is what's crazy is I was actually like the cutest baby ever. I was so cute.
This is what's crazy? That's what's crazy?
I always would look back at my baby pictures and think like, what went wrong? Like, at what age did I turn, like, not cute? And what age did my nose pop, so to speak? So, yeah, but I
like
was
a
really
belly
cute baby.
Pop.
Yeah, just suddenly one day it was like, oh, you got a schnoz.
When I had an eating disorder, I would look at pictures of myself when I was 5 and want to be that skinny again.
I know, when you're like, oh, my God, look at those ribs. Anyway, that's pretty sick. But how are you doing, Carol?
I am great. I'm so excited for our episode today. We're talking about sowing your friggin' wild oats. We talk about how older women, as they age, can shed men and the need for men and the desire for men from their lives.
There are certain women that men to them are like an unnecessary layer as winter turns to spring. And yes, you can put that in a quote. You can put that photoshopped onto a background, put it by anonymous and post it on your Instagram story, because that is gold, what just came out of my mouth. And why is that? Because the birthday goddesses are in me right now. They're running through my blood along with donuts, which was my birthday breakfast cake, and then the cake from last night, which is my birthday cake. So there's just a lot of shit going around in my body right now, and I think it's making me really much, much more intellectual than I normally am. So I wanted to share the words of a wise, I don't even know what word can possibly describe what this woman is. She's an icon. She's a legend. She's a siren.
She's always been ahead of her time. She's always been on the right side of history.
She feuded with Megyn Kelly. I mean, what more right side of history can you get than that? So Jane Fonda was recently interviewed leading up to the 2021 Golden Globes in Page Six. The first sentence I'm seeing of the article says Jane Fonda is happily unmarried. So the interviewer asked her if there was anything she hasn't achieved in life that she wants to accomplish, which is kind of refreshing since normally what women get asked is like, how do you get your skin so good? Aren't you sad that you don't have a partner? So she was asked if there was anything she wants to still achieve or accomplish. She said, quote, I'll tell you something that I haven't achieved, which is a successful marriage. But the second part of your question is, do you want to? I don't want to. See, I live by myself. I don't have any guy who doesn't want a woman who is willing to be angry and who doesn't want a woman who is willing to be angry and stand up. I'm not threatening anybody. I can watch whatever I want on TV, so I don't ever want to be married again. Just that line. I can watch whatever I want on TV, so I don't ever want to be married again. That is just for the fucking books, people.
I mean, happily unmarried. I'm speechless because that's so rarely said, because we should be looking all the time, supposedly.
Right.
We don't even give ourselves a chance. It reminds me also, I have pulled up an interview with Stevie Nicks and Rolling Stone. She's talking about her life at home in LA when she's not working. And she said, I can do anything here. I can record. I can write. I can sit by my pool. I can draw. My house here is like my own little resort. At midnight, if I want to, I can go in, light candles, and put a fire in the fireplace and spend 2 hours writing. And the interviewer said, do you swim in that pool? And she said, I do. Stupid question. And he said, I can't picture you in a bathing suit. I hate men. She said, yeah, well, you never will. She said, I get a black bathing suit and a fabulous black lace sarong thing. And I, of course, she's so fucking cool. And kind of tie it around me. And there is never, ever a man in the backyard. If there is, he is banished to the front of my house.
Legendary.
Oh, by the way, the interviewer's next comment is, please, you're looking fabulously thin. Go fuck yourself. I fucking
hate
men.
Okay, this interviewer is Justin Timberlake and Stevie Nicks is...
Okay, it actually might be a woman, but still. Come on.
Okay, this interviewer is Jessica Biel and Stevie Nicks is... Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That is so beautiful.
I just love that. Like, I hate the word self-care because it's so overused. Lighting yourself a fire and writing for 2 hours. My house is not nearly as nice as hers, but I just love the idea of, like, I can write, I can draw.
Yeah.
And you never will see me in a bathing suit because it's not for you. It's not for anyone else. It's not bikini season for you.
Bitch. Jessica Biel. It's not so fudge Jessica season Biel, for
don't
you.
I'm fabulously thin. Go fuck yourself.
And don't say that I have to eat fudge at O Fudge because I never will.
I have eaten O Fudge at O Fudge and it was stupid expensive.
But this is what we wanted to talk about with our guest today because she brought this topic to us of just putting yourself over settling for a marriage. And I just love that idea, especially as I walk into a new year of life, not to make it about me, but it is for me because today is my birthday and my life is celebrated on this day.
It's so true. True listeners. We have such a gift in our host, Devin Leary. And one of the blessings in my life is running into her.
Go on.
Go on.
Well, let's take a quick break and then we'll introduce our incredible guest.
We'll be right back. I want true
romance. Welcome back to True Romance.
Today on True Romance, we have a close friend of the pod, Amy Solomon. She is a film and TV producer, most recently on HBO's Barry. Hello. It's not TV, it's HBO. And Silicon Valley. Her new book, Notes from the Bathroom Line, is a collection of all new humor writing from 150 of the funniest women in comedy. And it comes out March 16th. I can't believe it comes out so soon. From HarperCollins. Amy, welcome to the pod. We love you so much. I'm so glad you're here.
My babies.
I can't believe
it. So you have to say you're two of those 150 of the funniest women.
So Amy was like, hey, do you guys want to write an essay for my book? And I literally just couldn't believe how casual it was. I was like, a book that will be sold in stores? I was like, your zine? Is it your zine that you're going to sell?
I was like, is everything okay? Like, at home? Is no one else doing this book? Like, you tried peddling it on the Santa Monica Promenade like the Scientologists do and no one else wanted to do it, so then you asked us?
No. And she was like, no, we have, like, Cecily Strong, we have Maria Bamford, we have Chelsea Peretti. And I was like, oh, my peers. Okay.
Oh, yeah, all the people that I'm at the exact same level as them. Cool.
Oh, my God. So you're my queen.
I literally can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Thank you for changing our lives, and you're welcome for changing yours by having you on our podcast that is...
We have given you the equal opportunity.
It is just as important as an opportunity, and no, we're not going to pay you for it, but it's basically you're paid in experience because this experience is priceless.
How UCB's performers weren't paid.
Absolutely.
It's more about, like, the opportunity to be discovered.
Absolutely.
And just so you know, if Carolina didn't bring up improv, this wouldn't be an episode of True Romance.
Do you ever think about calculating how much you paid to, like, UCB? Well, I also have all the Chicago ones. So, like, Second City, IO, The Annoyance. Like, if I tried to calculate it, I could buy a house.
It's crazy.
It's really crazy.
It's insane. I mean, I do have so many good memories there.
Oh, yeah. No, this isn't me trying to trash it. It's
no,
just...
No. Yeah. I know, but it is crazy. And so many people have, like, made careers there. And I find the UCB fascinating. Like, it's a weird ecosystem. And Chris Gethard talks about it a lot. Like, you can be there, have a time slot. Or at least when I was there, the theater was in the basement of a Gristini's in New York. And it's like, it felt like, okay, so if you're on Harold Knight, you're famous. Yeah. And it was hard to believe that, like, it was still normal life and no one was getting paid and stuff like that. So but it's still – but it's so funny because I remember going to see shows there and it was, like, Zach Woods, Lennon Parnham, all of these people who now all of a sudden I see on TV. So I am grateful. I did not ever hook up from, well, wait, I hooked up with one guy from the UCB, but I feel like that was what it was too. It was just constant awkward sexual tension.
I mostly sat there and spoke to no one at that location. But at the coolest, I mean, it is like I was such an, I'm sure you and I were there a million times at the same time. We just didn't know each other somehow. But Zach was my favorite. And then I've gotten to work with him and he's one of my good pals, which is like a dream. And then Lennon is in the book and Darcy Carden, yes, and like so many people. So
yeah, okay, so yeah, I remember I teched a play that Darcy Carden was
amazing
in. And someone, I always think of it because someone at one point was like, I'm reading this book by Nietzsche, and she went more like Sneetchy, boom, and humped the air, and I was like, who's that? And why is she amazing?
Oh, a queen. It's always, I don't know, I have this problem of like, I'm absolutely living my, you know, 16-year-old dream or whatever, but it just never, you have to take a step back and be like, you know these people now, you know?
I saw Chris Hemsworth at a restaurant once with like a crew of toxic looking men. Not saying he's toxic, I don't think he is, but like his friends looked like a bachelor party. It looked like a bachelor party. I was like, wait, what are you doing? Where's Elsa Hosk? Hello?
I saw them at the supermarket once and she was stunning.
So far, we seemed like celeb stalkers based on these past few minutes.
We're Dumois.
Okay.
I am going to reveal myself today as the real Dumois.
Have you guys ever seen TLC's My Strange Addiction? I'm addicted to stalking celebrities.
Mm-mm. Devin, no, we haven't.
Should I not tell this story right now?
No, I want to hear about it, but it's just so funny. Devin's like, okay, so obviously on TLC's I Eat Hair and I Like It. She's like, oh, have you guys seen that show?
Okay, this is actually like one of my favorite stories of all time, and it might not hold up, but like I am going to say it anyway. So I am watching TLC's My Strange Addiction, obviously, random day, just watching. And I'm like, this girl, like, this, so it's this girl is addicted to like stalking celebrities and taking photos with them. And so I, because by the way, they're loose with the definition of addiction. Like, it's just like, if you do anything a lot, that is it. So I was like, this girl looks kind of familiar. It's weird. And she's like running around the city. She runs up to the guy from Sex and the City who plays like Charlotte's gay best friend, Mario Cantone. And she's like, Mario, can I get a picture? And he's like, sure. And he takes a picture with her. Then she goes up to random strangers on a street corner and says, are you from One Direction? And the guy says no. And she's like, no. So then I'm watching Jersey Shore Family Vacation and they were like, oh my God, Pauly D Stalker is back. So then it clicked. I was like, wait, the girl, My Strange Addiction, I'm addicted to celebrity photos, is Pauly D Stalker, Angela. I was like, oh, that's why I recognize her. That's so crazy.
Oh,
and Pauly D is like famously so nice to his stalker. And he's famously, like, Angela, like you found me. And she's like up at the DJ booth with him. And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. So I go to work the next day.
That's the funniest way to greet your stalker.
He's like, Angela!
You found me again.
Yeah, it was so cute. And so, I mean, they built it up. Like they were like, oh my God, his stalker's here. And then he was just like, hey, come on up to the DJ booth. So anyway, I love him. So the next day I go to work and Jesse is there. And I'm like, okay, Jesse, this is so crazy. So I was watching My Strange Addiction, whole thing. I'm watching Jersey Shore. Basically, she's Angela, Pauly D stalker from Jersey Shore. And Jesse goes, oh, Eric Bedazzler? And I was like, wait, what? Was that like an English sentence? And she's like, oh, so Angela Pauly D Stalker is actually Eric Bedazzler, or at least that's what we called her on the O-Town scene. She used to stalk O-Town with us when I used to wait outside their concerts, and everybody called her Eric Bedazzler because she had a hat that had Eric on it, and it was bedazzled. And I was like, okay, what?
The O-Town scene.
I was like, the fact.
Oh, those are my years following O-Town on the road.
The fact that I brought this story to you and you said, oh, someone I know?
Oh, Eric Bedazzler?
That is actually phenomenal.
This is a
that was when we used to stalk O-Town together.
Unbelievable.
She did have a whole table of people at her baby shower that were just from, quote, the boy band scene, meaning, oh, and they were all like, look, I made you a Liquid Dreams onesie for your baby.
That makes me so happy.
Anyway, what's this podcast about? No.
That was a deeply, deeply Devin story in every way.
Speaking of the incomparable Jessi Konevsky, she is our quarantine correspondent. So we have another special report from her this week. It's a tween movie review. Take a listen.
Hey guys, Jessi back again with your True Romance Quarantine Report. You knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. And it's here. The final installment of the To All the Boys trilogy. To All the Boys, Always and Forever. I actually told myself in advance, like, don't consume it right away. Like, take your time, savor it. It's the last one. And then the promo was really cute and it came out Valentine's weekend and I just dove right in and gobbled it up. So we have senior year, Lara Jean and Peter Kavinsky. They're going to stay together no matter what. Prom, college, her dad's getting married. His dad is coming back into his life out of nowhere. And the plan is to go to Stanford together. He gets in, she does not. So she applies to other schools that are nearish to Stanford and they plan on making it work. Then they take a senior trip to New York and she falls in love with New York City and it turns out she wants to go to NYU. That is the main problem in this film and I'm very relieved because I thought that the problem would be that like he didn't do a big enough promposal. And the whole movie, if she was going to stay there complaining that, like, I wanted a big promposal, I was going to be very annoyed. But it wasn't like that at all. He did a cute, quiet promposal. It was just like whipped cream written on pancakes, which I'm here for. I've never actually received notes in food, but I have to assume that I would like it. So they're trying to figure out how to make this New York thing work because when she went on this senior trip, she fell in love with New York. There is a really cheesy scene of her at an NYU party. Her and a bunch of girls, they steal a pink couch, or steal it back, rather, and they take it on the subway. It ends up being the best night ever, and I wanted to rip this scene to shreds and be like, this is not real. This is not how things happen, and even though it was cheesy, it is kind of real in how things happen in New York. You do end up doing dumb stuff on the subway and looking around going, best night ever. I can tell you that for me, there was a night, me and my friends were on the subway. I don't know where we were coming back from. It was like 2 in the morning, and we dared my friend to eat a Cheez-It off the subway floor, and he did it. And we were like, that's fucking gross, but this is the best night ever. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. Okay, so they're so cute together. I always thought Peter was going to be a toxic guy. I watched all three movies just waiting for the moment where I was like, see, I told you about him. I told you. I knew it. But he's never like that. He always says the right thing. He's always sweet and supportive. He's always kind of funny, and he really likes who she is, and I really like him for that. There was a moment where I was watching. My husband was watching with me, and when I say watching with me, I mean he was just next to me on the couch looking at his phone, and which is wonderful. I'm so happy that he did that. I think that I had a good track record going because I made him watch the Wendy Williams Lifetime movie with me the week before, and he kind of liked it. So I think he was like open to seeing this movie. The moment they go to the Little Cupcake Bake Shop, I'm like, we are so them. This is so us. Do you remember when we went to the Little Cupcake Bake Shop and we got the strawberry shortcake cupcake? And he was like, I don't. And I was like, oh, okay. Speaking of Peter, there is a moment where he turns to her and he goes, I'm not going to sleep with you just because you're feeling insecure. And I was like, wow, this is a moment. If girls were told that they don't have to sleep with guys because they're feeling insecure, I think this would be a whole different world. All right, so the end of the movie, there's a bunch of flashbacks to them over the years. There's flashbacks to the other movies. It hit me right in the gut. I was a blubbering mess. I love this trilogy. 5 out of 5 stars. They are so cute. It is cheesy. It is cheese. But you know what? I love cheese and I love this movie. So 5 out of 5 stars. I also feel very connected to Peter because his last name is Kavinsky and my last name is Konevsky. And whenever salesmen call me, they're like, hello, Mrs. Kavinsky, because they can't say my last name. And so I'm like in my head, like, yeah, you know what? I am Mrs. Peter Kavinsky. Okay, so you know I'm all consuming of things high school. So leading up to my prom, I thought it was going to be the biggest night of my life. It was not. It was fine. I went to the prom with a friend. We had it in the ballroom of a hotel.
I wore a periwinkle dress that I bought at Lord & Taylor. The after prom was at Limelight in Manhattan, which was a club inside of a church. It was very cool. After we took pictures by the South Street Seaport and went to the diner, I power napped the next day, and then I woke up and I went straight to TRL to stand outside and see if I could catch a glimpse of Freddie Prinze Jr. I did. They called me up to the studio. It was great. I sat in the audience. He, like, gave me a little wave. And that was the end of it. That's what I remember about prom. It wasn't the most special night of my life. It didn't impact my life the way it does in teen movies. I would have to say, if I had to pick a night that really changed my life, it would probably be my friend Kelly's 20th birthday, where I ended up peeing on 2nd Avenue at 2 in the morning while wearing, like, a miniskirt from Joyce Leslie. But that's another story for another time. Anyway, to all the boys I've loved before, always and forever, the final installment of the trilogy, highly recommend. Check it out. Bye.
That was Jesse Konevsky with another earth-shattering tween movie review. And we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with more from our guest, Amy.
I want true romance.
Welcome back to True Romance.
So, Amy, you had an experience where you were about to really commit. I would say get married,
yeah,
right?
Well, yeah.
But I mean, that was where it was going.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so I dated a guy, okay, from 18 to 21. So I met him in Chicago before I went to college. And then he was a little older. He stayed in Chicago. I went to college. And we did long distance until my junior year of college.
That's so hard.
Insane. And I would go home, like, I would spend the summers, Chicago, whatever. And it was just like, oh, I lost my virginity to this guy. Like, I'm marrying the guy I lost my virginity to. Isn't that magical?
Beyonce,
like,
style.
Beyonce style. I'm going to stay with him forever. This is amazing. And then I basically, like, just, like, woke up and was like, what am I doing? Which clearly was also, like, there were so many cutie boys at college. Like, so I was constantly, like, having what Catherine Cohen likes to call emotional affairs.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. And basically I was like, what am I doing? And so we broke up and I went batshit. And basically he was like, I have to have every experience under the face of the sun. Because that's that phrase, right? Face of the sun, under the face of the sun.
You're talking to the wrong
girl. On the face of the earth.
It's definitely not on the face of the earth.
On the face of the earth.
Under the, every experience under the sun.
The Tuscan sun. Oh yeah, under the Tuscan sun.
Every experience under the Tuscan sun.
I feel like my knowledge of, like, phrases has fallen away in the last year. I don't know, whatever.
My sister basically learned how to read in Italian before English, because this is a quick tangent, because we lived in Italy when she was in first grade. And it's so funny because sometimes English is like her second language when it comes to idioms.
Amazing.
So she, like, one day she was like, listen, this isn't my first merry-go-round. And I was like, come again.
Ah, I love that. I want to say that.
It's honestly good.
But yes, you were doing every experience just under the Tuscan sun.
Under the Tuscan sun on the face of the earth. And I just, like, and now my deepest held belief is you need to do all the things before you, like, settle down. And I know that there are the people that this doesn't apply to. There are people that's not interesting to, blah, 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 blah. And settle down is not interesting to people too. Blah, blah, blah. All the exceptions, whatever. I just, like, because I was, you know, I was also 21. So it's not like I was, like, just on the verge of, like, being married. But I just was so convinced that that was my one guy and one path.
Right.
And then literally went cuckoo batuku. That famous phrase, cuckoo batuku.
Right, on the merry-go-round.
Yes, yes.
On the merry-go-round.
And now it's the thing I advocate for. Like, dog adoption and doing everything, kissing all the people absolutely possible.
Well, Wait. Even when you don't think you're going to get married to someone, if you're having a long distance relationship in college, like, that's for a reason, or at least you tell yourself that's for a reason.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're like, okay, we're committed, and I'm making these sacrifices of time and emotional energy because this is my person.
Yeah.
And so even when you're not like, we're getting married, it's like, well, this is my person.
Yeah, totally. That's also my biggest, no one should go to college and keep their long distance relationship. Like, and
it's hard.
I resent everyone.
To tell someone that.
Yeah, it's so hard. But I really think someone could have said something to me.
Right.
It's really hard. Right. But like, I don't know. I'm a big advocate of we all need to be comfortable in our relationships that like it, like if Devin says something to Carolina that's like hard to hear, you know, she thought long and hard about how she needed to say that to you, you know, like,
well, I do ridicule Carolina on the regular and I don't really think about the consequences, and then she'll say like, that actually hurt my feelings, and I'm like, oh.
Devin has been really honest to me about her opinion on my relationships, and it is very thoughtful.
Yeah.
No, so I
I think that's so helpful. Like, I think, I don't know, you have those relationships in your life where if someone said something like that to you, it's like, it's hard to hear, but there's a reason they're saying it. I wish like my parents had been like, what are you doing?
Oh my God. My mom has never kept an opinion to herself about my relationships. Either she's like, he's the one, or she's like, I don't like how he didn't talk to your sister at your birthday dinner, which was weird.
That was weird.
My parents won't say anything. It's like they like think they're not allowed. Like, they made this wall for themselves and they won't do it. It's kind of unbelievable.
Your topic made me think a lot about this relationship because I was in a long-term relationship and it came to a point where, like, for my career, I really should go to LA, but mm-hmm. I was like, didn't want to go because I was in this relationship. And I literally had one of my bosses said, like, you have to break up with your boyfriend and move to LA. Like, there's no other option. And I was like, that's not true because, like, I love him and he loves me.
You know, have I ever told you my favorite Gilda Radner quote? It's,
no, please.
I can always be distracted by love, but eventually I get horny for my creativity.
Yes.
And I have it.
Yes.
You know those big jumbo sized pencils that they like sell as a joke?
Yes.
My friend got that printed on a jumbo sized pencil for me. So it's on
I love that.
So funny.
Because I express my love for jumbo sized pencils. But yeah, no, I think like ultimately your creativity or whatever that equivalent is in your life is like, you got to follow that first and foremost.
London Hughes was a guest on the pod and she was incredible. But one thing she said was she was like, my career is my boyfriend. And the other day I was with Will in his trailer and he just looked at me and said, do you want a date? And without thinking about it, I just said, no.
Yeah.
I was like, no, near. Because of the emotional energy aspect.
Totally.
But yeah.
Totally. I also think that doing all of the stuff. Okay. I think that doing all the stuff is important for two reasons. One, so that by the time you settle down, you feel like you've done stuff. Like, and you're not going to be like, oh, wait, I never did this. I never did that. You know,
right,
blah, blah.
Right.
The second, also, you need to be able to compare stuff. You know,
yes.
Like,
right.
I don't think I would know now that things are so good with Greg if I didn't have all of these experiences that I'm like, I feel like I've seen so many friends who have had just like a couple long relationships. And for the record, I think everyone's experience is fine. I'm not like, you have to do this, but like a couple people who have only had like, you know, two long relationships, they just have like one thing. It's like, well, this guy was like this and this guy is like this. And it's just like, you don't quite know. You don't have a lot of points of reference, you know?
Right. I also think after every relationship I've had, it's just been a clearer idea of what I've wanted.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I haven't had that many long-term relationships. I mean, and when I say long-term, I mean like over 9 months. After being somewhat committed to a guy and then ending things, I've always had a clear idea going into the next relationship.
Totally.
And if I had only had like the two or three relationships I had from like 17 to 21, I would have been really confused because all of those guys, they didn't really, it took me a while to meet someone who had the range of even just like kindness and like no drama. Like, you know, my fourth boyfriend, who's the best, Yoni, giving him a shout out. He was so kind. And I had never dated someone like that. So if I hadn't met him, I would have thought that relationships always need to be like drama filled and jealousy filled and, you know, like, not, he doesn't really support my career, but it's fine. He's kind of critical of me, but don't boyfriends do that? Like, I would have had no idea. And so that's something I think about a lot. Like, when people are in these long, like, 7-year back and forth, we are committed, but it's hard work and we work at it. And every day, and like Devin said, like, we're going to therapy, even though we're 25, because like, we really want to make this work.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think you know how much better it can be.
I was also going to say that I think you can learn too from like one night stands and weird little things.
Yes.
Like, I think, 100%. You know, you don't need to compare like hugely long ones, because I only have a few of those, but like all the, like, dating a guy for 3 weeks and then him disappearing. We should get into this at some point, but I got dumped brutally 3 times in a row right before I met Greg.
Wait, so was this by the same person?
No, 3 different guys.
Oh my God.
Amazing. And why brutally? Like, it was just like ghosting?
So 2 were over text. And then
why?
And then the third was in person after. This is the darkest thing in the world, but I was obsessed with this guy. And I was that it was this like beautiful summer, and I was house sitting a bunch for these friends who have this house with this pool. And it was right near my work. So I was like living this like forbidden LA dream of like walking to work, which was absurd.
Oh my God.
And so I was house sitting this house, walking to work. It was heaven. And he would come over, and they had this pool and this hot tub and this outdoor shower. And it was like actual heaven.
Oh my gosh.
And I wrote this poem about how when I was done house sitting, I thought he was going to break up with me because the house and the pool were the appeal. And then he did.
No.
And he'd seen the poem.
Wait, what an asshole.
So crazy. It was unbelievable. So yeah, these 3 in a row. And at the time, when he actually came over and did it in person, so like props to him. But when he came over, I was like,
the bare minimum.
The bare minimum. I was like laughing when he said it, because I was like, this is the 3rd in a row. This is unbelievable. You know, that's another reason why you got to do all these things, is it makes it funnier, which is like the most important thing.
It makes it funnier and you take it less seriously after a while. I had 3 in a row over a winter break over a 3-week period from college. I hooked up with 3 guys, each of them saying they didn't want anything serious, and me lying and being like, me too. Ugh, I hate it.
Ugh.
Commitment. Boo. And then each of them after saying that, I'm not kidding, like a week later, one consecutively after the other, got a girlfriend. That was very serious.
Got a girlfriend.
The guy that
I was like, wait, but you said.
The first in that string of 3 was this really weird British guy who – it got so serious so fast, and then he dumped me over text, and then ultimately was just like, I literally don't want to be with someone. I just think I am a loner. Like, I don't want to have a relationship. It's not interesting to me. And his whole Instagram is him and his girlfriend.
So fascinating.
Like, just.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So how did you meet Greg after these 3 breakups, and where were you mentally at? Like, were you like, I don't want to meet anyone else, fuck these breakups, like, I'm gonna be alone forever? Or were you like, I'm gonna keep chugging along and trying to meet someone?
So I met Greg on Hinge, which,
hope for all the listeners,
I was so fucking upset about. Is it bad I swore?
No, swore as much as you swore.
I did a podcast about dogs called Can I Pet Your Dog? That's like the funniest, loveliest
thing. Oh, yeah,
thing.
I saw that.
It's really great. But so I kept swearing. And then I was like, wait, am I allowed to swear? And they were like, no, we have to put like barks. So it goes like, woof, I swear. It's really fun.
Devin and I are going to start doing that. Yeah, we should. Even though our podcast isn't about dogs.
I wanted to go a wooga when we swear.
I want a clown car horn. Beep, beep.
Okay.
So I was so frustrated that I met him on Hinge, because I just hated the like connotation. I don't know. I just didn't want it to be like I met my person on Hinge. And now it's like Greg is Greg. It's insane.
Yeah.
That he's, you know, like they become their own thing to you. They're no longer like Greg from Hinge.
Right.
Now,
but Greg is he still that in your phone?
No. Isn't that the weirdest part of all of that, is being like, what's your last name?
I know. I have people in my phone still that is, I probably have Greg from Hinge in my phone, but I also have like Ben Hinge, Ari Hinge, like weird shit.
I'm sure I have that. And I was very, I don't know why. Okay, I'm sure you guys have done this, but like I was very anti, like I don't, like after those three brutal dumpings, I was just like, no, like this is bad. I love like making a profile.
I know, it's so fun.
Like answering those questions and picking the pictures and like, I love that stuff. Like,
I do too, yeah.
I love that stuff more than I like actually talking to people on.
Totally. Yeah. So I think I just kind of did it. And then he was just like, I had done them before, never to much success. And then he was the first person I talked to of like that iteration of Hinge. So
cute.
Yeah. And he is perfect.
He is perfect.
He is perfect, and you guys are both equally devoted to each other, yeah. Which is so
the first lovely. Time in the history of my relationships equally
I
devoted.
I think it's rare in general. I mean, I'm not trying to like. I think it's really nice to see when both people are just like, I'm in this.
Yeah. You know what? So the book has been like all consuming for, you know. I mean, in some sense, 3 years, but a lot in, like, the past couple months. And when the first copy came, he, like, put it in bed and was like, we need to sleep with her tonight.
Oh
my God.
And dude. It's, like, the whole thing is, he was like, she's my best friend. She's so beautiful. He's been so
I
sweet.
Love that.
So
funny.
But, yes, I needed, this is, I mean, just to reiterate what we've been saying, like, Greg, the thing that was markedly different with Greg was it wasn't exciting. You know, it was like easy right. and good. It yeah. wasn't that like horrible roller coaster of like,
yes.
is he going to text me back? Like, yes. blah, blah, blah. And that was the first time where it was like, oh, okay. It can be like,
it could be easy.
It's like a warm bath. It's just, there you go. You know what I mean?
Well, I think people confuse fear and love a lot, totally. Like adrenaline and love. And like, do you like me? And
totally.
I had a similar thing in my past relationship where I was like, we just like each other and I trust that you like me and I like you. Yeah. And it was this whole, I mean, it sounds so cheesy, but it was like coming home.
Totally.
Like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be.
I know. And I thought that was made up. Like Carolina yeah. would say that like relationships could be easy. And I was like, I don't understand what you speak of.
Totally.
Like what?
You're like, I'm in couples therapy.
I know. And she also said like, you can have someone who is like both like good looking and funny and smart and you like to be around them. And I was like, again, you're speaking from the perspective of a different planet that doesn't exist. Like, I don't know. Like, you either have to have someone good looking or someone yeah. interesting. And turns yeah. out, you can get them all, girls. You can get them all.
What were some highlights of you sowing your wild oats without making this podcast unlistenable to your loved ones?
Without naming this podcast Sowing Wild Oats, what were some of your wildest oats?
Alternative title.
There was a long time where I just was like, if it's a funny story, let's do it. You know what I mean? And I do think that that's important to have that time period of just like, if like this is funny, I'll go for it. I mean, never endanger yourself. Like, don't do things that are scary and give you a bad gut feeling. But like,
right.
Alec and I, my boss and I went to South by. We were premiering Barry there. And Westworld was also premiering, I think.
Oh, my God.
One.
My friends from The Daily Show were there that year with like the
yeah?
Westworld. Yeah.
Yeah. So exhibit. We went to the Westworld, like they built a Westworld outside of Austin. And so we rode this weird bus. Like it was me and Alec and the cast of Westworld.
Oh my God.
Because it was just like they invited HBO people who were like in Austin, right? So it was like me and Alec and the cast of Westworld and like Elon Musk on this bus to
understand.
Literally Elon Musk. And so we went to this Westworld and I got. So, and I don't really drink so much, but it was like there were free drinks and it was so bizarre and weird. And there are hundreds of actors playing these
robots.
People who have been trained with like they memorize these scripts and whatever. And so Alec and I played poker for like 3 hours and we went back to Austin and I went back to my hotel alone and sat at the bar just alone. And I was wearing a Westworld cowboy hat.
Yes.
Like it said Westworld on it and an actual Amazing. Big cowboy hat. I still have it. And this guy hit on me and I was just like, let's just do this. And yeah. he was a bouncer from a nearby bar. And it was like Love. The fastest to like 2 minutes. And I was like, okay, let's go. And I was wearing, it was all because I was a confident cowgirl, I guess.
You were a different person.
I love that.
But that was, and that's not like the greatest of all time. I just was recently talking about
no,
that.
No, but I know what you're talking about. It's the feeling of independence of like walking around New York City or after nights like that, just like going to get a coffee the next morning. And it sounds crazy, but like those years of independence are things I think of in terms of sowing my wild oats. Like I had no one to answer to, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, totally.
Not that like women answer to men, but I had no phone calls to make after that or like plans to make for dinner or anything. Like there was no domesticity in those things, obviously. Totally. So it was just sort of like me living my life. And I had so much, it was so much fun to have like sexual excitement with none of the yeah. commitment.
Yeah. Totally. That's probably one of my only like literal one night stands too. You know how it usually ends up being like two or three times and that was kind of
yeah.
it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was probably my only like literal or a couple of them, whatever. I also, my friends, my friend set me up with this guy who his kids went to their kids' school and they thought I was going to like, and he was like going through a divorce and like, they thought I was going to like him. And we ended up kind of dating for like a few months. And he, this was so insane, but we were supposed to go away for a weekend. And then he wasn't responding to my texts or my calls or anything. And that was like unlike him. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. We were supposed to have like left to go on this road trip. And then he called and his son had gotten strep throat. And Oof. And so they went to the pharmacy to go pick up the like meds or whatever. And like he was so sick that he was like, just here, take the med like right here, like at the pharmacy.
Oh, no.
And they had taken his ex-wife's antidepressants, this kid, because they picked up the wrong like that was what was ready at the pharmacy under their name.
Dads are so stupid.
So stupid. I mean, this guy was, I mean, dumb. But so they had to take him to the hospital and pump his stomach because he was so little and well, whatever. And this was like the reason. And I was like, we were supposed to go away.
Yeah, you were like, I thought I was your girlfriend.
And then he like the kid had still been, was still sick after. And then they didn't. He was like, you know, a dad with, you know, the kids would go back and forth between the mom and the dad. And his they didn't have a. He was like, he's really sick. And I was like, well, what's his temperature? And he was like, oh, I don't have a thermometer. And I had to go to CVS, buy a thermometer, take it over. God. But then I wasn't allowed to see the kid. So I had to drop the thermometer off in the mailbox and leave.
So wild.
Insane.
So like, wild that men just
secret
like,
motherhood.
Yeah, men just continue to be inept at any age.
It's amazing. But anyway, these are weird examples I've pulled out of my ass. But it's just, it's just like funny. It's all funny. To me, the most important thing is funny, unfortunately.
I totally know what you mean. And I had those experiences a lot like after, so my college youth was like crazy, a lot of times not even funny stories, just like that is disturbing and please take care of yourself in future reference. But then I was in two long-term relationships in my early 20s, and then like I said, when I was like 25 or 26 I became single again and like went into the online dating world for the first time, and I'm so grateful for that experience and truly was like, everyone needs to have this experience of like just being single in a city, living in like a really tiny room that you don't know how to do anything by yourself. And I had this experience where like this one night I went on a date with this guy who was like so attractive that I was like, wait, why is this happening? And he kept texting saying it was going to be later and later. Like he was like, I actually am working really late. Like, can we meet up at 9? Can we meet up at 10? Can we meet up at 10:30? So basically I was like, okay, so this is like now a booty call.
Yeah.
And I don't care. I will certainly be there. So I went at like 10:30. We like the restaurant, the bar is closing. And we're like, basically, I was like, why are we putting on airs? Like, this is not. And he was right. Like, so what do you do? Cool. Like, this is what I do. And I was like, we don't need to be speaking about this. Like, he did order me bruschetta, which I thought was really nice. And I ate it. And then I went to his apartment, basically, like, get home at like 2-3 in the morning on a Tuesday. And I was like, okay, this is so fun. Like, I'm basically living the dream right now. So then the next day I had another date and I was like with a different person. And I was like, do I cancel? Like, I can't believe I just like went on this date, hooked up with this guy. It's like 3 in the morning. And I was like, no, I'm going to go. So I wake up, look so terrible because I didn't sleep at all, put on like 4 layers of makeup and like a really slutty outfit that I was going to wear to work and then go on a date. And then I went on the second date the next night. And I was like, wait, this is possible for me? Like, I can live like this?
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. It was fun.
I call it like, I'm kind of introverted now. I mean, Amy and I bonded over our obsession with our dogs, and obviously Devin is the same. And we're all in love with our dogs. We all share dog pictures all day long. I want to show more people dog pictures, but I don't because I know it will bother them. Like, yes. Last night I was on set and I was holding back. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to show one video.
That's
my
it.
Dog playing with a corgi.
That's it. Just one.
At a dog park. And that's necessary. And all you have to do is watch this.
You know where you can always show them?
I won't show you anything
more. Is the pet store. You know when you go buy stuff? The other day,
yeah.
The other day I went to that place, Canine Loft in Echo Park, and I bought
that place.
So much stuff. And the lady goes, your dog's going to be happy. And I was like, okay, let's be clear. There are two of them. Like, this is so much stuff. This isn't for one dog. And then I was like, want
to
see a picture?
That's me when I go to the bakery. I'm like, this is not just for one person. Okay. It's for a lot of people. I actually support an entire community with donuts, and it's not just for me. Thanks.
This is for my village.
I'm super introverted now. I wouldn't say super, but I love being indoors. Whenever people are coming to socialize with me pre-pandemic, I would always be like, okay, the best way for us to see each other is for you to come to my house, to be quite honest. Yeah. And so Devin did a lot of that. I just...
I know. We would be like, let's go to dinner. And then Carol would be like, do you want to just come over? And I was like, yeah.
I was like, my mom will make us food. I was with someone and I had... people around me who were sort of like, go out. And I was like, no, in fact. And I didn't really have guilt over it. I mean, I did, but then I was like, this sounds pretentious or arrogant, but I've been to all the parties. And that's what I kept on saying. I was like, I've been to all the parties.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done it. I was going to parties when I was 18 where we would all dance in our underwear. Like 50 people would like strip down into their underwear. And now I'm like, ugh, so embarrassing, so like stupid and immature. But I did that. I did like the stupid thing. And I like hooked up with the dumb guys and I went to the wild mansion parties and went to the shitty house parties. We were all in a dorm room. And I hate clubs. I never liked clubs. I was always like, let's just go to someone's house. And I just loved house parties and stuff like that. But what I'm trying to say is that I know that in 5 years, 10 years, I'm never going to be like, why didn't I ever just go crazy?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to be like, thank God I don't go crazy anymore, which is how I feel now. I'm like, oh, gosh.
No.
What crazy years. I'm so glad that I can just like relax now.
I don't like having people to my house because I'm scared they'll never take the cue to leave.
I know. It's hard.
I mean, like your best friend is fine.
I actually like it when people stay for a long time.
Oh, that's my nightmare.
And spend the night even.
That's my nightmare.
I'm like, sleep on the couch.
No.
But I always say like, I stop hosting and I just start living.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't worry about them having a good time after like a few hours. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to make a snack and watch a TV show. You are welcome to join, but I'm not going to do any song and dance. But yeah, it's so funny because when I was 18, I was so jealous of the people who had already found like the loves of their life.
Yeah.
Or even were just happy in relationships. And all I wanted, oh my God, all I wanted was a boyfriend. And I see like people who are married at a really young age. I'm happy for them and everyone has their different thing. And I think some people just meet their soulmate. But I'm also like, thank God I had those years.
Totally. You got to have those years. That's my thesis statement. Also, Stephen Colbert once said, never refuse a legitimate adventure.
Mm-hmm. Love.
And I think that's like kind of become my motto too. Of just like, if someone's like, want to come to this thing, you kind of got, and it sounds like Westworld with Elon Musk outside of Austin. You kind of just got to be like, yeah. Yes, I will. This makes me sound like I like to party and like go out, which could not
it really
be further.
Doesn't. Okay. No, it just makes you sound like you did say yes to adventure a couple of times. It doesn't make you sound a crazy person like me and Devin were. I have to tell a quick Stephen Colbert tangent, which is the story of how he met his wife, which is one of my favorite
stories.
Where he, and you can look it up on YouTube, it's much better than I'm going to butcher it right now, but he thought this girl he was dating really wanted to marry him. And he was like, I can't figure it out. So he goes home. I believe he's from
South Carolina.
He goes home to South Carolina and sort of talks to his mom about it. And she's like, do you want to marry her? And he's like, I don't know. And she's like, well, then it's no. Like, it can't be, I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is such good advice. Yeah. Like, it's no if you can't stop thinking about whether you should or not.
Right.
And night he goes to a theater. He goes to a like some sort of like community theater show with her. And he walks into the lobby and he sees this girl and he says, that's my wife. And then he has the feeling where he's like, oh, my God, that's so crazy to think. Like, what do I mean? That's my wife. And so they talk in a buffet line and he's like, she's so nice. She's so amazing. Like. And he's like, he said, everyone in South Carolina is really nice. So I didn't know if she was just being nice because like it's the South and you're supposed to be super cordial. Unless you're a racist. No, I'm just kidding, but not really. And so he said, to make sure she just wasn't being really nice, I turned away from her for a second to see if like, if she doesn't like me, she's just going to walk away. Like, and be like, thank God I'm out of this conversation. And it's actually so amazing because he has like tears in his eyes and he's like, my whole life hung in that moment where like I turned away for a second. My whole life was hanging in the balance. And he was like, and I turned back and she was smiling and staring at me. And I was just like, okay, like I'm literally like building tears in my eyes as I'm saying this. Like, it's just, I love faded moments like that. And you do have those weirdly. My dad was dating my mom in college and he came off a plane in Alaska and she had done a print ad with her friend for like fun. She wasn't like a professional model, but she had done a print ad where they were both eating ice cream for some company. And he came off the plane and he saw a huge poster of her like in the like airport gate. And it was her and her friend eating ice cream. And he said, he was just like, I'm going to marry her.
Wow.
And I was like,
I love that.
But wait, so I wanted to ask about this college relationship, just a two-parter thing. One is, how did the breakup go? And two is, where are you both now, if you know where this person is at now, and where do you think you would have been if you stayed together?
Yeah. So I went home junior winter break knowing I was gonna end it but was gonna do it at the end of winter break because we were supposed to like have a winter break and whatever and like go see his brother and sister-in-law and then he could just like read it on my face, you know, so he was just what's going on. And then we still went to see his brother, like we just still went on a road trip to see it. I was saying I want to take a break, like I need to figure some stuff, which was clearly, you know, whatever.
Classic. Been there.
Classic. So we still went on this like dark, depressing road trip to see his brother and sister-in-law. That was
very
like,
dark.
Why did we do that? And now he's married and has a kid. He's in Chicago still. I look at his Instagram too much, probably, just to check on in there. And
strong relate.
It's not like there's no emotion attached to it.
No, of course. But you're just,
it's purely anthropological.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. You know what? I don't know what would have happened. I mean, I think I would have come to that conclusion eventually that I needed to do other stuff. But he was like lovely. Like that wasn't a like super strained crazy highs and lows relationship by any means. Like, he was very funny and lovely, and like my parents loved him and blah blah blah. I think I just would have come to that conclusion eventually. I think I also like wouldn't have wanted to live in Chicago forever, and that was kind of what he was doing and stuff like that. He and his writing partners, he doesn't work in comedy, but like that's how we met in Chicago. And he and his writing partners like pitched a show out here, and I ran into them in the lobby of like the TBS HBO Max building in Burbank year ago.
Worst nightmare.
Was hell. It was actual hell. I was getting into an elevator with them, and then I like ran. It was a whole thing. It was actual hell.
No, an elevator.
It was horrible. It was like truly, truly horrible. And like that's like these, you know, it's like, no, you're supposed to be in Chicago in this, right? Like, you know, you're not allowed to come to this bubble. You know,
you're not allowed to bump uglies with me anymore.
You can't go near HBO Max.
Yeah, that is so weird.
Yeah, insane. Do you check in on like all your exes, just like what they're doing? I'm just fascinated.
I'm scared of two of my exes.
There are some where it's like when I was, yeah.
When I was dating, when I was really young and I was like a active crazy person in my very early 20s, I always want to make that clear because the relationships after that were really great and I would hate for them to feel like in the mix. But my college relationship and the one shortly after that were crazy. And I check in on them, but it's more out of like, please don't tell me you're outside my house. Or you're nearby. I just like, yeah. I mean, thank God I have my dog, Grandma, who is literally an attack guard dog.
Man, too.
Yeah. By accident. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, shit, I got like a Rottweiler. Like, this cute little puppy that I thought was like a French bulldog from the rescue is the kind of dog where someone came to my house as a surprise to drop me off donuts on my birthday like 2 years ago, and I was like, my dog is gonna kill
you. Man too.
She was so close to being like, I'll have to take your throat out.
Goose would be like, hello. But so I'm grateful for Nan. No, I
Mr. cries to try to get like an adult to come up if he sees a stranger.
Greg calls, let the record show, Greg says that Mr. is the softest material known to man.
Oh,
I have Cavalier King Charles called Mr. Rogers, and let's just say it's like Charlotte York on Sex and the City. She has a Cavalier King Charles, I believe.
Yes.
And it's the same relationship. I actually named him Mr. Rogers because I always thought it was so funny that Charlotte York named her Cavalier Elizabeth Taylor. Like, giving your dog two names is so funny to me.
So good.
So let's talk about your book very quickly.
Yeah.
Notes from a Bathroom Line. Just think, I wish that this book had existed when I was like 18, 17, because it's a collection of women's humor and stories, but you also split it into sections on like body, relationships. What are more of the sections?
Yeah, like body and mind, love and dating, family, the age we live in, socializing. Basically, I like let all the pieces come in, and then I kind of like let them sort of dictate what the themes were, you know, and they divide it out pretty easily. So yeah, it's just like essays and fiction and cartoons, and there's sheet music and love. Yeah. So yeah.
I just love the idea because I think a lot about my sophomore year of college. I was like so depressed. And I wish I had a companion like your book.
Yeah.
Notes from the Bathroom Line, where I could read about experiences that weren't like Virginia Woolf's A Room of One's Own, that were real time stories of people feeling the same way.
Yeah. Totally.
And
I feel like everything I do is like for me. From 16 to 23. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
And this definitely. Yeah. You know, it's just, and I hope like people, clearly you'll know people's names in it that you love, but, and then you'll like learn of new women that you didn't know about that you love. Mm-hmm. And then everyone can just like follow them on Twitter and Instagram. And I was, someone asked me like what the goal was for the book. And I was like, I guess to get everybody followers. I was like, that's so sad.
No, but no, I mean, I always am looking for that on Instagram, like new comedians to follow, basically, totally. Is like what I use Instagram for. So totally. It is. And just from like being a part of the project, I've learned about so many new people that I'm obsessed with, especially like the illustrators.
Totally. Yeah.
That I never normally would like, I guess, learn about illustrators. But yeah, it's so exciting. And also it's so many different types of women and from different backgrounds, and I think everyone will find more than one voice that they really connect to, which is so cool.
Yeah,
it's just so necessary. I feel like I spent time when I was depressed or ashamed or confused.
Yeah,
and I think that is why we're on like Twitter and Instagram sometimes, to look for like-minded people who understand what we're going through. I mean, the past 4 years for me, it's been like people who are like so heartbroken over politics or totally. But it's so nice to have a physical companion rather than the ever infinite world wide web where you totally. Can feel just even more lost yeah. and alone.
She's the book is really pretty, so I hope people
I can't wait to see it.
I can drop yours off like next week if you want, by the way. Carolina. Well, I have to mail Devin's. She's a little further.
You're totally welcome to.
But
I just want to let people know that they can pre-order it and get a really cute tote.
Yeah, true.
Tote bag. It's notesfromthebathroomline.com
if you want to go.
.com. Yeah. All one word. Notesfromthebathroomline.com. It'll link you to really great bookstores where when you pre-order it, it comes with like a great bag.
Yeah, all female-owned indie bookstores. I really love women. Don't know if you know that. Love women.
I hate them. Can't stand them.
Listen, I just don't get them.
When I'm trying to do my podcast and my wife's banging on the door with a sandwich, can't tell you what bothers me more.
Banging on the door with a sandwich.
Isn't that what wives do? They're banging on the door with a sandwich.
That's definitely what wives do.
I got your sandwich. Get in here. Get out here. Quit your damn barking on the podcast. So good.
Well, I can't wait for people to read your pieces. Both of them are incredible.
Thank you.
And both of them have
yes.
But not everything in the book has illustrations, but both of yours have some of my favorite illustrations, which makes me very happy. This girl Sabrina Bosco did Carolina's. And they are
tattoo-worthy illustration.
Oh my God,
Carolina, that's your first tattoo.
I think.
Don't tell my mom or dad, but I think it is.
Okay.
And then Devin's are by this girl Hannah Adamson, who's amazing, and it's unbelievable. I can't wait.
It's unbelievable.
There's an artist called Roy Lichtenstein, which I guess everyone knows except for me. I saw a print of his at a party in London. One of the parties that I went to, so I don't have to go anymore. And I literally took a picture of it, not knowing it was a famous artist, and showed it to Will. I was like, Will, this is a Lichtenstein. I said, Will, look at this cool picture. It looks like a cartoon. And he said, that's a Lichtenstein, and I have one in my house, and you've walked by it a million times.
Okay, I'm not kidding. My best friends from college, Anis and Tori, and I call random creeps who hit on you at the bar Lichtensteins.
Why?
I don't know, because we were out at a bar and it was this crazy thing where like all the I mean, if you saw the type of man that was hitting on us, it was like 60-year-olds who looked like they were from Atlantic City. This one guy was like, do you have a ride somewhere? Like, I have no home. Like, please, I have this backpack. Do you have a ride? And this other guy was like this like conservative, just fucking Trump Republican. Like, it was just every person who hit on us was a major creep and so annoying. And for some reason, we were texting about it afterwards. My friend Tori said like those Lichtensteins kept coming and we just held on to it. I don't know if she was drunk or what, but she just said that. And now we're always like the Lichtensteins. And in quarantine, we always say like, I would give anything to be hit on by a Lichtenstein right now.
That reminds me of being at a club once, and the guy that my friend was hooking up with was there, but he brought another girl who was just basically like a Jersey she was like a Jersey Shore, like Pauly D stalker type.
Okay,
and my
love.
Friend was like the funniest person ever. And my other friend was like, look at, you know, Jake over there with sandbags.
Sometimes you just are inspired by a name that comes to you.
I am so happy, Amy, that we met and that you are in my life. We communicate on the internet every day with pictures of dogs. It's every time I see a cute dog, I'm like, I'm a slide into Amy's DMs immediately with this one.
I like knowing people's dog types, because it's like if I see a boxer, it's like, okay, Carolina needs that. You know what I mean?
I like a mushy face. Yeah. And I have a little like coyote looking dog, which is Devin's
Scruff type.
Is like
a face like a scruffy scruff.
Face.
I love a face scruff. Any face scruff, love.
I love it.
Please order Notes from a Bathroom Line. It is going to be your companion. It's going to be like one of those meditation books where they're like, turn to a page.
Right, and read it every morning.
Meditate on it.
And the thesis, Amy's thesis, please also carry that with you and don't settle until you've done literally everything.
I mean, do what you feel, but I think you should kiss a bunch of stuff.
Westworld robots.
And you can follow her at Amy Beth Saul on Twitter or Instagram and see her two dogs.
It's mostly my two dogs.
It's
mostly them.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, angels. I love you.
We love you.
We love you. Oh.